Praise the Lord. All right. We want to just take this opportunity to welcome everybody to our online service. We're glad to have you out there with us tonight. Sister Lori had some things that she had to do tonight with Uncle Joe. We're going to pray with him and everything that's going on. So we're just going to basically be running our cameras. Sister Jasmine and I are here. We're going to take care of business. But I'm going to need you to get your Bible out tonight because you won't have any online scriptures to go from. So we're gonna use the Word of God from the message that we did Sunday. So let's pray and see if we can acknowledge the Lord before we get started, and then we pray with Sister Lori and Uncle Joe and the things that are going on in that situation and other people as well. Let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we just thank you once again for the opportunity to come into your house. We thank you for the Word of God and for the power of the Spirit of God that's released in our life because he resides with us. We thank you even now, Holy Father, that you are watching over us and you watch over us in all that we do. You keep us from harm and danger. And Father, even the trials and the things that we come against are only that they might continue to increase us in our strength, that we might become all that you desire us to be. I pray, Father God, even now for Sister Lori and Uncle Joe. I pray for Joe, Father, concerning the cancer that he's dealing with. And I pray that right now you would help him, Lord, strengthen him. And help him with those things that are going on currently in his life. You've given him a long life at the age of 86. And Father, we know, though, that there's more to come in his life. We pray, Father, because we know that you're able to soothe and help him in this time that he's going through. Father, we pray that you would strengthen Sister Lori as she continues to try to do that which is her God-given responsibility as his niece. And we thank you for it even now. We pray for every other person under the sound of our voice, Lord God, who may be ill or suffering with some type of ailment. We pray in the name of Jesus that the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart would be acceptable in thy sight. And that by faith, Father God, you would heal these people from the crowns of their heads to the soles of their feet. We know that you're able to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, praise the Lord. We're going to see if we can get going. On Sunday, we had a message that we did that was called Faith's Fuel. Faith's Fuel. And what we did might be looking like a little bit of a recycle on the concept of faith, but I think that it's important that we continue to realize that much of what is going on in the lives of people, I said on Sunday even, has a lot to do with, although we may say we understand the concept of faith, we may understand that we say we have faith, but when you really pay attention to what was going on in the Word of God and what Jesus said, we realize that this could be part of the problem that some people are suffering from in terms of why they're not able to receive the things into their life that they're trying to bring to pass as they're trying to believe God for them. And so as my thesis statement, what I basically said was that without a God-given desire, your faith had no fuel or no basis upon which to work. It was dead on arrival. And I didn't spend a lot of time talking about the DOA, dead on arrival scriptures I wanted to talk about. And I'll probably get to those a little bit more on Sunday because I want to go back and concentrate tonight on what I talked about. And again, I said, without a God-given desire, your faith has no fuel or basis upon which to work. In other words, what I was trying to get at, and hopefully I did, and we'll go a little deeper tonight, is that faith really requires a basis upon which it can work. And when I say work, I also mean work, really work. The Bible says in one place, and we didn't get to that, that faith without works is dead. So we work based on our belief that a particular thing will or will not come to pass. On Sunday, I said that, you know, each and every one of us who have a job, you know, we may really like our jobs, but we go to work because we have an expectation of being paid at the end of whatever the pay period is or whatever the people have said to us that they, in fact, are going to do. This is what the pay period is going to be. And so we work with the understanding that at the end of each pay period, we get paid, whether weekly, monthly, biweekly, and then we get so much a year. And we do that until we're ready to get another job. But all of these things are done with an expectation. And I said that I gave another definition, if you will, not definition, but I kind of dealt with the scripture in Hebrews 11:1 a little bit more to try to help us understand it. Because Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I said that the problem with this, when we read it many times, is what people always think of as the concept of hope. Hope is always, most of the time when humans are talking about it and people, hope is always seen as something that we're kind of wishing for. It's like a wish. You know, you have not even an anticipation. It's a desire you have that you're not sure will come to pass, but you know, maybe it will and maybe it won't, but I'm really hoping that it does. And this is what most people take the word hope here to mean. And that's really not what's intended here. Actually, the word hope here, you could actually read this that faith is the expectation, the assurance. In one place, it's like being sure, we said, like this sign we have here. Now, faith is being sure of what, instead of what saying what we hope for, being sure of what we expect. Being sure of what we expect and being certain of what we do not see. Okay? Now, if you think about it from that perspective, you can realize, I think, maybe a little bit more why it's so difficult for some people to receive what it is that they believe that God might even desire them to have, whether in terms of healing, whether in terms of their financial needs being met, whatever else it is that they are believing God for or would like to have from God or have God to respond to. People have to understand this because it's a difficult concept, even though it's a simple one. Now, what do I mean by that? On the one hand, it's easy to say, well, I believe God, okay? But on the other hand, the question is, you know, because the scriptures say in one place, the devil believes and he trembles, okay? The demons believe and they tremble. So the question becomes, if I really do believe God, what does that look like? What should that look like in terms of believing God? You know, Jasmine, what might make sense is just we go with one camera and you can work the scriptures or something, maybe. What you think? That might be a good idea, huh? You think? Well, let's try that. You work this, just, oh, no, that's right, because we can't go saying, ha, ha, we live, y'all. We just trying anything we can. All right, I'm sorry. I lost my mind for a minute. All right, praise the Lord. All right, here we go. We back. All right, so when we talk about faith again, y'all, I want you to remember this and think about it. Faith being the assurance of things that what? You expect. Being sure of the things you expect. Now, think about it like that. I want you to think about it again. I told you again, if you look at that sign, you may not be able to see it, but I'm just reading it off to you. Now, faith is being sure of what we expect. All right? So now, let me ask you the question. How many times have you heard about people who talk about people who are ill, praying for people who are ill, and hoping that God will do it if it's his will? This is what people will say. That right there denies the very thing that the scripture says. Now faith is being sure of what we expect. If you're not sure of what you expect, you're still not walking in faith. See, this is difficult for people to understand sometimes because they'll say, well, you're blaming the victim. No, I'm not. What I'm doing is trying to get you to understand how this works. You know, we're going digital with our cameras here in the church, okay? And the new fiber optic cables that we're running have two different ends on them. One end goes to the display. The other end goes to the source. And although the ends look the same, they're labeled source and display. If you hook up, which is what I did at first when we were messing around with it, we hooked the display into the source and the source into the display. And it wasn't working. It was like, oh, what is going on with these cables? They're brand new. Oh. Hello, read the book. Read the papers. You cannot hook the source to the display and the display to the source. Although they look the same, the book tells you be sure. Because if you run all those cables and you got them going the wrong way, Nothing you can do to fix them except take the cables back out and rerun them. Why? Because source must go to source, display to display. Now, that's two things you need to understand. What is the source and what does that mean? And what is the display? Well, once you understand those two, then you hook them up and guess what? Ta-da! Magic, it worked. Well, it's the same thing with this. You can't walk around saying you have faith just because you have a mental assent to something about God. So in other words, if we all walk around saying, oh yeah, I believe God heals. I believe God can heal anybody. I believe that God has the power to do whatever he wants to do. Great. We all believe that. But do you have faith as it relates to that? You may be giving mental assent to that, but do you have faith as it relates to that? Now, when we used finances just as one example, and we can use finances because finances, at least it's not the same as you having some particular disease or something like that and you deciding to take a chance, either like some cancers that people will have. It may reach a point where they finally tell a person, well, we can't do anything for you. Well, at that point, then, there's really nothing you can do anyway except try to believe God. But sometimes people will be diagnosed with something ahead of time, and instead of any medical treatment, they believe they've arrived in their faith with God, that they don't want to deal with any of this medical treatment, and therefore they are going to stand on what they believe. Okay. Now, in order to do that, though, this is not like you rolling dice and hoping that God's going to do something. You can't go to God in that kind of situation talking about let your will be done. You need to know the will of God. This is where people get confused with this, though, because they'll say, well, you can't know what God wants to do. The Bible is clear that there were times when Paul left people sick. He said he left my leader sick in one place. In another place, he said somebody else was sick, almost unto death. But even in those situations, when you listen to what Paul said, some of this sounded like it was tied to the fact one guy, he said he overworked himself. All right? If you don't get any sleep, folks, I can't pray for you and you can't believe God by faith that you're going to receive the rest in your body that your body needs if you don't do what needs to be done. This is what the Bible means when it talks about faith without works is dead. In other words, I do what they tell me to do. Once I learned that they said that sitting up and watching TV at night, that these blue lights that are coming from the TV can impact parts of your neurons that cause you to go to sleep. Well, you could still turn the TV off and you're having trouble sleeping because your brain has been activated. And now your brain is jumping and you thinking, I just can't sleep. And that's really not what's happening. What has happened is that you've exposed your brain to that light and that is creating a problem. If you're looking at your phone by your bed, all these things can cause sleep deprivation. So now I bought these things that basically just block out my light. And I just, doesn't matter. Says, Lord, if you want to watch TV, whatever going on, I just put them on and I'm out. And I don't put anything in my head after 10 o'clock for sure. Light sources, right? So that I can get a restful sleep and shut my brain down. Well, all this is just something that they told me. But guess what? You don't have to do it. You could mentally assent to that and say, oh, I think that makes sense. Oh, yeah, I believe that and all. But if you don't do it, then it does not change anything, right? Okay. Well, when you start talking about these types of illnesses and other things, it becomes very critical to understand the distinction between, oh, I believe that, and I'm having mental assent to it, and I got faith. Because failure in this area will result in death and some other problems, simply because what? You don't have faith, you have mental assent. Now, is that a problem? No, not really, except that people need to stop blaming God, saying, well, you just don't know what God wants to do. How can we not know? The Bible is filled, chock filled with God healing every single individual he came in contact with while Jesus was here, he healed them. And they said, well, that was for Jesus to do. Well, this doesn't have anything to do with us. We're not trying to heal anybody. We're saying that God's will is that we would walk in healing. Now, I'm not one of those that believe that God wants everybody wealthy and healthy. Healthy, I'm on the healthy side. Wealthy, I think that's just something you got to work on and do the best you can to make money as best you can. Do what you do. I do not believe that being wealthy is tied up in the cross of Jesus. But I do believe that health is something that we can strive for and believe that that is the will of God for our lives. We can see in many places where the Bible says God would give us long life, satisfy us with long life. That's what the Bible says. So we have a right to believe that. Now, one of the things, I'm going to move away from health for a minute. I'm going to go back over there and talk about it. I used money as an example because it's easier to use money because it's not the same as, well, I've been diagnosed with some type of cancer and they're telling me you can either take chemo or not. If you don't do the chemo, this may happen to you. So I got to choose between believing that what? I'm not going to take the chemo treatments and God's going to shrink these tumors and they're going away without chemotherapy. I don't need it. Now, that's a big deal. That's a big step. And we don't teach that here. You go on the website and you can see that we say, look, we believe doctors are from God. We believe that medication is from God. And we believe all that. And we do not believe that you should abstain from medications to show your faith. But there are some people who don't want to do that, okay? And we believe that that's okay too. But if you're not going to do it and you want God, you want to be able to touch God, because it's not about God touching you as much as it is about you touching God, because the devil is going to be doing everything he can to stand between you and receiving what it is that you want to receive from God by throwing all kind of doubt at you, by bringing all kind of other issues at you, by doing all kind of other things to cause you to do what James said in the book of James, that you waver. See, the Bible says that if you waver like back and forward, you're not in faith, and that person can't receive anything from God. So the Bible says, okay? So instead of using that, I simply said on Sunday, I spent some time talking about finances, just as a small example. And it's amazing the number of people who don't pay tithes, they don't support their local church. And I'm not just talking about here. I'm talking about in general. I'm talking about all over the world because there's something that's called the Pareto factor. And they say that even applies, unfortunately, in ministries. And that's that typically 80% of the support of a church or any other thing comes from 20% of the people. 20% of the people generate 80% of the work. 20% of the people bring you 80% of your problems. Yeah, 80% of your problems are created by 20% of the people. It's not the other 80%. They're all going, doing whatever they're doing. And it's that principle works both positively and negatively. So typically, if you go through a church role and you were to try to decipher, okay, who paid tithes and who didn't, let's say, as an example. Well, some people say, well, how could you figure that out? Well, it's easy. Okay, let me tell you how simple it is. If somebody gave $1,000 for the whole year, that would mean they made $10,000. That's below the poverty level. So more than likely, if you see the person and they don't look like they're in poverty, now they might be. More than likely, they didn't pay their tithes that year, but you're not saying you want to get on anybody about it because it's not important. It's important to understand it. Why would they not do it? Most people don't do it because of fear. It's not that they don't want to do it. In other words, they like their churches. They appreciate their pastors. They appreciate the work that gets done in the church. Take our church as an example. We're wiring up new cameras. We just bought new computers. We just bought new monitors in the back. We just spent $5,000 or $6,000 just like that. Okay? So people appreciate the fact that, well, this stuff ain't just coming from nowhere. So the money has to come in to do it, right? Great. So they don't think it's being stolen even. They just can't seem to get off that 10%. Now, what they don't understand is that this is the reason why the government does the way they do. The reason they do taxes like they do is because they don't trust Americans to pay them at the end of the year. So what they do is they have your employer. That's why it comes out. It comes out of your check. And then at the end of the year, you reconcile with the government. You do your tax return. And if they took too much, you get a refund. And if you pay too little, you have to pay them. The way it works is that if you pay, if they've taken out, if you have $1,000 or more that you owe, they will penalize you, a penalty, for not having enough taken out of your income. And then they will force you to pay what they call estimated taxes. So that means every quarter you have to pay so much estimated taxes so that at the end of the year, they don't trust you anymore, basically. They're saying, look, we want you to pay it in April, June, September, and January 15th, by those 15ths of each of those months. And that by the end of the time when you do it in April, then you don't have any taxes that you owe. Churches, on the other hand, or any type of outreaches or anything like that, they can't take your money ahead of time. So God expects believers to understand that just like the government has to run and they got to build roads and you want them to pick up your garbage and you want them to be able to keep the street lights on and you want them to pave your streets and you want them to make sure the sewer gets clear and if it floods, you want them to come and pick up all the trash and all this stuff that you want from the government that you want them to do. And at the same time, you got to realize the only way you pay for that is taxes, okay? Everybody wants a stimulus check, and everybody wants these different things. You want a military to protect us from war, and you want all these different things we got to have. We want medical benefits and Social Security and Medicare, and we want everything given to us by government, not understanding, some people anyway, government has to pay for it. Government doesn't produce anything. They take money in taxes to pay for these things, right? So then we have to understand, once again, churches are the same way. The lights, the bills, the TVs, all these things have money that have to come out to take care of them so that you can get the gospel out. Okay, this is not about what? Just taking care of the people that work in the church as much as it is about making sure we can do the things necessary, one, to teach you the word of God so that you can what? Grow in faith, become who God wants you to be, learn everything that Jesus wants you to learn so that when it's all over, you will be productive. And when it's over, you will be able to stand before him and say, he'll hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Okay? So all of this needs to be what? Taken care of. Well, the only way to be taken care of is the people of God. The government ain't doing it. They're not going to send us no checks. And if we get PPE loans or whatever, you got to pay that stuff back. The bottom line is you can't run on loans. You need to generate income, but it has to come from the people of God. They have to say, you know what? God's business is important. And God's business is important enough that I'm going to give to God's business. Now, you can say, well, I got faith all you want. Truth of the matter is, the Bible says, faith without works is dead. So people can mentally assent to the fact that what? God's church needs money. God needs it to take care of business. But God made it clear. If I was hungry, I ain't going to ask you. God said in one place in the scriptures, and I read that Sunday, where he said in Job 41:11, trying to make everybody understand, this is really not about God as much as it is about God. When it has more to do with, we're going to be standing before Jesus and he's going to say, I left my talents with you and you did not do anything with them. You didn't reproduce anything. You didn't cause anything to come to pass. You kept the money that belonged to me anyway. And instead of you sowing it so that you could reap some more of it, so you continue to sow into the kingdom, you kept it in your pocket. Seeds that you could have sown instead of you sowing them. If you was a farmer, you would be doing that. Okay. Now, when it comes to spending money on things that we want to get something back, we want to buy a purse, you want to buy a car, you want to buy yourself some clothes, you see the benefit. You go buy yourself lunch, you might give somebody a tip, you know, you're spending your money, you got your little trips going on, all that stuff. And God is watching all of that we're doing and not some people not realizing that these things show that we understand that money needs to be spent for a benefit to come back. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, somehow people believe that what? You don't have to do that, but God's still just going to bless us. I don't know why we believe in this, but we got to understand what the scriptures say. In 41:11, God said this. God said, who hath prevented me that I should repay him? He says, whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. So God is making it clear that he doesn't owe anybody anything, and nobody can stop God from doing whatever he wants to do. Everything under the heaven is his. We understand that. God doesn't need anybody to do anything in the church. Why does he have us doing it? Because God is testing our faithfulness. We're the ones that are going to go before God and be able to say, I did what you asked me to do. I brought forth what you asked me to bring forth. And I did with yours what you would have me to do. Don't be like the unjust steward, the one that he gives the talent to, and he's so scared to sow it, he goes and buries it in the ground. Some of us, not y'all, let me just say, some people are even worse. They're not burying it and giving back to God what's his when he returns. They actually took what was God's and spent it. Now, the Bible in one place said, will a man rob God? And the answer is yes. A lot of people rob him, and it's crazy, and they don't understand it. It's coming out somewhere. God says he's not going to let that happen, and people need to understand it. God told them in one place, this is why they were putting their money in a bag with holes in it. People were trying to figure out why they could never get ahead. This was their reason why they couldn't. Now, in Psalm 50, verse 12, this is what the Bible says. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. So God says, even if he was hungry, he's not coming to ask us. So you can understand this. If this church, this is why I don't mess with y'all, except the fact that God has, I think I need to spend some time on this. Let me just say that. Because I don't spend much time talking about these kind of things. And as we talk about faith, this is a good place to plug this in because it's an excellent example of people walking in most of the time what is fear. I don't believe that people don't want to do things for God. I think it's fear. I only have this much money. I've got this many bills. If I pay money here, what am I going to do about my bills? And surely you're not telling me to pay money here without paying my bills. All I'm saying is that bills came after God. Basically, what happened was somewhere you got all these bills, and then along came a God, I guess, in your life, instead of seeing it the opposite. I was born. I was free. I got myself in all kinds of debt, and never, ever, even many people never even acknowledged God before that. But then maybe either you found God and made a decision that you say you believe him, but not quite, because the scriptures tell you what you need to do. If you want to come out, dig yourself out of this hole, you got to believe God. Okay? Now, I want you to just see it for a minute. Don't overreact to me just yet or anything like that. Just see what I'm saying. All right. Now, when I say that without a God-given desire, your faith has no fuel, no basis on which to work. The Bible in one place says that God will give us the desires of our heart, okay? Now, that doesn't mean that we go away and think up stuff we want, all right? Like Sister Laura decided there was a nice purse she wanted to get. Ooh-wee, God's going to give that to her because that's a desire of her heart. That's not what this means. The scriptures mean God will give you the desires of your heart. In other words, God will give you the desires that you ought to want such that when you pray, the Bible says that we know we have the things that we ask for because we pray according to his will. Therefore, we know we have what he said. See, I pray in accordance with his will. Therefore, I know I have what I said. So the desires that I have, Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them. In other words, that word believe is the same one that James, where it says, don't doubt. All right, don't waver. So Jesus says, believe you receive them and you shall have them. All right. So now let's talk about this thing of God-given desire so your faith can have some fuel. Now, I told you one of the examples I was going to use was this one, mainly because I think that people, like I said, it's more out of fear and not a lack of wanting to obey God, but fear. This is what the Bible says. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Now think about this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now let's stop right there. We're going to walk through this one step at a time. We said then that faith is the assurance, or as we said, being sure of what you expect. Faith is being sure of what you expect. I'm going to say it again. Faith is being sure of what you expect. Now, the only way you can be sure of what you expect is that you need to get that expectation from God. See, don't make it up. You can't make it up yourself. You know, I've told you all for years, people have told me, you know, how big they thought the church is going to grow and all that. But nowhere in the Bible Does God ever say a church will grow to a certain size? What God says is that one plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. In another place, the Bible talks about on the day of Pentecost, the church increased a certain way. But nowhere in the scriptures does God place a number on how big or small or large a church will or won't grow. He doesn't do that. So I can't, my faith has no fuel to work with on that particular basis. I don't find it anywhere. I don't find in here where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. The church, every church will grow to 2,000 members. It don't say that. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Now listen to this. Think about this. Tie this together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means your mind, your soul, your will. Trust in the Lord. What does that mean? You got to believe him, what he's saying. Trust him. All right? I remember when my dad used to try to teach us how to swim, and he wanted to show us how to float. And he would say, look, now, son, just trust me. Lean back. Well, I didn't even want to trust him, but it was obvious you didn't because you didn't want to lean back. I was afraid I was going to drown. What if he lets me go? What if this? What if that? But he's telling me, son, trust me. Just lay backwards. He got you. I got your arms. But I can't teach you if you don't lean back. You got to trust me. So eventually, you go ahead and you lean back. That's what it means, trust. When a father's standing there or a mother and the kids on a ladder or whatever and they hold their arms up, they're basically saying, trust me, kid, come on, let's get down. If the kid refuses to let go, it's because they don't trust or believe that what? You're going to get them safely to the ground. So they're not letting that ladder go, even though you're standing there. God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Your mind, everything you're thinking, your will, everything you're doing, and your emotions, everything you're feeling. Trust in the Lord, all your heart. Trust him. Then he says, lean not to your own understanding. Now, remember this. Remember the Bible says when the sower was sowing his seed, and the Bible says some fell by the wayside. And it said it fell by the wayside, and Jesus said the birds came and got it and took it away. So it never even made it into the ground. At least there's some where the ground was kind of shallow and the seed went in and it grew a little bit. The others went in and some ground, but they had thorns and it choked it out. And then there was some went in the good ground. But Jesus said, when he explained the parable of the sower, the wayside was the person, he says, the word of God is sown in their heart and they don't understand it. And the devil comes immediately and takes it away. Lack of understanding. The Bible says, in all you're getting, get understanding. Why? Because this is the key to this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. The devil's going to play around in your understanding. That's how he steals the word from you. That's how he robs you of your faith. That's how he robs you of opportunities for you to grow in faith and grow in God. That's how he robs you of your opportunity to get the things that God wants you to have because you don't trust him because you don't understand. Understand. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Understand. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So in other words, my mind tells me, I don't know if I should do this. And you explain it away, what God has said. Your feelings and emotions, and you explain away what God said. Your will, and you do what you want to do instead of what God said. There it is. I mean, so this is so simple, it ain't even hard for me to understand no more. Look at the next verse. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Everything, the Bible says in one place, anybody knows to do good and doesn't do it is evil. So the bottom line is God's going to tell you something, and if you don't do it, that's evil. And then God tells you don't be wise in your own eyes. Man, this is so good. I ain't talking about what I'm saying. I'm just talking about the word. Think about it. God gives me the answer. Then he launches off into what he says. He says, it shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Now, I want you to think about this. Before scientists knew anything about marrow, bone marrow, it is your bone marrow that produces all of the stuff that keeps you healthy for the most part. When you get certain types of cancer, the first thing they say is, we want to check to make sure it hadn't spread to your bones. Because if it gets in your bones, you can forget it. It's done. You're done almost. When it gets in your bones and it starts spreading throughout your body and all your bones, it's almost like you're done. And you have to realize that that's the thing that God wants to stop. And this is what that chemo will tend to do. It'll try to get into that bone marrow and kill those cancer cells. And that's the thing. So God says what? It is going to be marrow to your bones. It's going to be, you know, when my sister had leukemia, lymphoma, i.e. leukemia, whatever it was ultimately, the bottom line is that she needed a bone marrow transplant because the marrow created the white blood cells that fight the infections and all this stuff. So she needed a bone marrow transplant. She needed somebody who was going to be what? Her donor to help. God says it's going to be marrow to your bones. Now, folks, you got to understand this. This is serious business. This is serious business. I'm standing here today where I am in terms of the things that I've been able to accomplish and do. And I said it earlier, maybe last year, right about the end of the year. And I wasn't trying to brag. I was trying to make a point that still to this day, my wife and I are the number one givers in this church. Even after I've retired, through everything that God has brought in my direction, brought in my way, and put in my pocket, we still, end of the year, is the number one givers. That means everyone in the church who's working, double family incomes, whatever y'all got going on out there, we still were the number one givers in this church. And probably by about, I'm going to say, $10,000+ over everybody. The highest giver. That's where we were. Now, am I bragging? No. I'm trying to tell you something. I'm trying to communicate with you. I'm trying to get you to understand. Do you want to come out or don't? The only way you're going to come out, you're going to have to sow your way out. I'm telling you, I left home at 20. I didn't have nothing. Well, actually, I left at 19. By the time I was 20 is when my first child was coming. Bottom line was, I didn't have anything when I left home. My father didn't give me anything when I left home. How did I get here? Believe in God, keep grinding, keep believing, and keep doing what he says. And he brings you out and on top of that allows you to be able to do the things that you're able to accomplish and do for the kingdom of God. And that's why I'm teaching what I'm teaching and why I'm so serious about it and why I'm trying to get people to understand it. He says it'll be marrow to your bones. And then listen to number 9. Honor the Lord with your substance. Now, why would he come down with that right after he said all this? Because he already knows people don't trust him. People don't, they'll say they believe him. God can do anything. Yeah, God this and God that, but they don't trust God. God says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. God says, everything you get, when you're increased, honor me with that substance. I want the first fruits off of that substance. That's what God says. He says, I don't want what's left over. Don't bring me no leftovers. Uncle Sam, get his right out your check. Give me mine, God says. Now, listen to me. The reason I don't talk about all this stuff a lot most of the time is because I just get tired of people thinking that that's all church care about is money, money, money. But God is the one who said it, and I don't want to get to heaven and God be telling me, how you going to preach around my scriptures? Because you're concerned about what somebody going to think about it, so you're going to preach all around my scriptures and talk about what you want to talk about. While people are suffering and having issues and they can't seem to get themselves to where they really want to be, some of them making a bunch of money and still can't stay ahead, cannot get where they want to go. You don't want to be grinding your life out till you're 70 and 80 and all that trying to figure out how to survive. That's not the plan God has for us. And so I want you to really hear me clearly to see my heart in this thing. The Bible says honor the Lord, and some will do it and some don't. I mean, it just... But this is what it says. Well, if I'm not willing to do that, right there I've already demonstrated I lack faith. Because God gives me the expectation that I can have that will fuel my faith. That's why I give like I do. People might say, well, you give because you're the pastor. I was giving before I was a pastor. I sold before I was a pastor. I was doing what I had to do. I was a pastor all my life. I sold before I was a pastor, and I kept doing what I knew was the right thing to do. It's easier when you're younger. Teach your children when they're young. Give a penny off a dime off a dollar, because people say, well, if I had $1 million, I'd give $100,000. I don't know about that. It's a lot harder. The higher you go up, the numbers just get higher. It is not easy to just give away $50,000 or something like that. That's not how that works. You don't say, oh, I've got $500,000, now I'll give God $50,000. It doesn't work that way. If you don't give him 100 off of 1,000, you sure ain't going to give him 50,000 off of 500. It doesn't work like that. And people need to understand this. So I'm looking at it going, God, you don't need anything from me. This is about me honoring your word with an expectation. So when I give, I have faith. I have an assurance. I am sure of what I expect. What do you expect, Pastor? I expect verse 10. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. That's what I expect. I have an expectation. So people say, well, you shouldn't give to get. I don't necessarily give to get. I sow to reap. That's a different concept. That's like telling a farmer, going to a farmer and saying, hey, man, you know it ain't right to sow corn to get corn. That ain't right. That ain't right to sow watermelon seed to get watermelon. Now, that ain't right. It ain't right to sow broccoli trying to get broccoli. You know, you're a farmer. Why are you doing that? Just stand there and hope for it. Stand there and pray and believe God. He'll give it to you. You're a farmer. You can't bring your need to the ground. You got to bring some seed. You got to bring seed to the ground. I need some fruits. And I need some seed. If the ground could talk to you, that's what it would be saying. You got to put something in it. Oh, my God, I don't understand. And then people keep, they get upset with people because when they talk about it, but it's like, it doesn't make sense to me. We see it in the world. That's like going to your car saying, run, and your car say, I need gas. Oh, no, I ain't going to put no gas in there. I'm going to believe God. Get in the front seat, keep cranking. It won't start. And we look in there, it's on E. And I say, have you put any gas in it? Now, see, everyone can accept that. But this, just, oh, Lord, no. No, because you're saying that I got, no, it's an expectation. God is saying if you honor me, the Bible says God will give seed to the sower, seed to the sower. In other words, if you sow, God's going to give you seed back because he knows you'll sow it. And then he doesn't mind you. Look, what does the farmer do? In one place in the Bible, let me teach you a lesson here. I'm going to go to Timothy. I'm going to teach you a little quick lesson here. And it may be in time I've already talked about this once or twice with you. But I want to show you something. In Timothy, this is what the Bible says. This is what Paul told Timothy. He says, let me see if I can get over here right quick. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And he's talking to them, he talks to them about a farmer. He says this, the husbandman, which is the farmer, must be, that laboreth, must be first partaker of the fruits. In other words, Paul says the lesson of the farmer is that the farmer has to be the first partaker of his fruit. In other words, my grandfather was a farmer. We would get up in the morning, we would pick strawberries and cucumbers and whatever else he had grown that he was taking to the market. But before he left for the market, grandma always got some good stuff. And we took the bushels into her house. She had that to cook and all the tomatoes, the strawberries, the cucumber, whatever it was that we had picked, we took a bushel or two inside to grandma, and then the rest we loaded up on grandpa's truck and we took it to the market. And there he sold it, right? Okay, the farmer is the first partaker of his fruit. So God is saying to you, look, I don't have a problem. I'm going to give you seed to sow. I don't have a problem with you keeping some of it. You're going to sow, you're going to reap. Keep some of it and sow it back. I'll give you a bigger harvest. Keep some of it, sow it back. I'm going to give you a bigger harvest. Sow, keep it back. See, my desire with God had always been, which I finally got to where I could begin, if I wanted to sow more than 10%. If I wanted to do certain things with God, I could do them. I could go beyond 10%. So I just kept sowing with the expectation, God saying, your barns will burst forth with plenty. That's the expectation I had. So I sowed in faith, with an expectation. Not, oh God, I hope you do it. No, I'm expecting God to return this to me more so that I can sow more. I have an expectation. Now, so anyone who refuses to do that, that's a good place to start with understanding you don't have faith. You couldn't have faith because faith is the substance. It is the expectation, being sure of what you expect and certain of what you do not see. So when the bottom line is that I here it is, I have a bill to pay. So, Pastor, are you saying I shouldn't pay my bills? I'm not telling you that. I don't know how you got there to start, but if you're in a place where your bills are outrunning your money and you ain't giving God anything, you're in a thicket that you got to think through. And the Bible tells me if you want to get out, it says lean not to your own understanding. Now, let me tell you what your own understanding would say. This is what mine would say. Hey, I got bills to pay. I got to pay my bills, so I better pay my bills. I mean, I understand the church needs stuff and all that, but, you know, I mean, they look like they're doing all right. Look what Pastor say. Pastor say he gave all that money. They're going to be all right. I got to pay my bills. But what I'm doing and what the church is doing has nothing to do with what is going on in your individual situation, your faith toward God. God says, this is how I'm going to get you to do this. Get out of your understanding. All right, you're in trouble right now. You're in trouble, and we want to come out of trouble. Well, how are you going to come out? You can't come out in your own understanding. Your own understanding, what got you in trouble? That's how you got there. Okay, so now you're in trouble. We want to come out. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own will, your own emotions, your own thought patterns. Don't do it. God said, look, get out of your own mind. When somebody starts talking to you and saying, man, I don't know, and then when you get ready to pay your tithe instead of what? Paying that bill, you better realize that, I'm scared. I got it. I understand you're scared. But guess what? Don't go with your fear. Well, Pastor, I just can't accept that. Well, then fine. I got it. But don't tell me you got faith. Please don't. Stop it. Stop. That is not faith. It's just not. I don't know what to tell you. I don't even know how to explain it to you. You cannot take a world's definition of how things work and change it into Bible-believing faith. Bible-believing faith. See, the Bible in one place says that we're saved by the faith of Christ. This ain't our faith. The reason we're saved is because of the faith of Christ. The Bible says that when Jesus was getting ready to die, he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Jesus had been told by the Father what to expect. The word said that he would not leave his soul in hell and he would not suffer him to see corruption. But he had to believe that. Jesus had to die. Yeah, he had to die. I mean, he died. That's why he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And he bowed his head and died. And he had to believe God that after 3 days he was coming out of that hole. Come on, folks, listen to me. Now, I don't want to get aggravated, but sometimes I just get so aggravated because this money thing is simple. That's why most people are having trouble with the sicknesses and getting healed from that stuff, because that's even more treacherous. The creditor can't do you nothing. The most they can do is report you late. You can say, well, Pastor, they can turn my lights off. Okay, well, if you came to church, let me just say this right now. If you convinced me, you came to church and you convinced me you had paid your tithes and the next thing that happened was your lights was about to get turned off or your water was getting turned off, I'll pay your bill. Nah, what about that? I would pay your bill because I don't believe that. You say, well, they're going to report me to credit bureau because I ain't paid my credit card. Well, now that's a little different issue. Question is, how much you got on a credit card? What did you do? How'd you get yourself into that trouble? And you'd rather pay the credit card company than God? You'd rather not get some knock on your credit versus God? You know, you ain't understanding. That's what the Bible says. Don't lean to your own understanding. You don't know what God may do next. You do something and all of a sudden somebody walk up to you, see you in church and say, you know what? God just told me to bless you today. And all of a sudden, somebody just hand you $1,000 or do something like that. But it don't never happen. Why? Because you ain't never tried it. You ain't never just did it. God, I am going to lean not on my own understanding and all my ways. I'm going to acknowledge you and I'm going to do what you said. I trust you. Just trust him. That's all. Trust him. Folks, listen to me. This church, for as long as we have never taken an offering now we've been in this building since 1998. We're at Airline at 94. Detroit started in like 89, 90, somewhere in there. So we've got what, 30 years, 90 to 2000, 2010, 2020. Yeah, about 32 years, somewhere in there. I have never taken an offering in church. Never. never taken an offering in church. And God has continued. Every time we buy a building, we pay it off. Every time we end up in a building, we pay it off. I was joking around, Jasmine, I was joking around, said we got more monitors and screens in this building you ever won't see. We get everything we need when we need it, simple as that. Why? Because God knows the needs of his church, just like God knows your personal needs. And your faith is more important to God than sometimes these bills that you've given priority to. And therefore, then what? They never really go away. You know, it's kind of like you're getting them paid, but then something else happens. You ain't getting them paid, and something else happens. It's like, I can't never get out. Trust the Lord. Stop saying you trust him if you don't trust him. That's like if I came to you and said, look, don't pay another bill. Trust me, I'm going to pay your bills. Give them to me. What would you do? Well, if you trust me, you're going to give me your bills. And you're going to keep your money. You're no longer going to start sending your money to the credit company. Why? Pastor said he's going to pay my bill. Told me to trust him. Well, you know what that would mean. Trust me. And if I didn't do it, you feel very free to go out and talk about me to everybody. Pastor lie. Pastor a liar, man. Pastor told me he's going to pay my bills, told me to trust him. You know what I did? And somebody would probably say, I hope you didn't trust him. He messed your credit up, didn't he? Hey, you going to know after the first month or two that I didn't pay him. But point is, it what? If you trust me and if I'm trustworthy, I'm going to pay him. If I'm faithful, God said, look, I'm not a man that I lie. Well, then is he lying here? If the Lord says, honor me with your substance and with your first fruits, and I'm going to burst out your bonds, is he lying? Do you think that God is an exaggerator? I said that Sunday. Folks, listen to me. Once people realize that you exaggerate, you lose all credibility with them. In other words, if I was standing up here right now, and I told y'all that about my giving, and all of a sudden, the giving statements, we put them all out there. We don't do that because we don't want people knowing what other people give. But let's say we put them all out there, and you find out, Pastor ain't gave no money last year. Or I really wasn't where I said I was. And then y'all say, well, Pastor, that's like a lie. I said, no, we wasn't lying. I was just trying to make some emphasis for the sermon. I would lose all credibility with you. You ain't trying to hear what I got to say no more. If I tell you, you know, certain things and I puff it up or add on to it in such a way that it's not true, there's going to come a point you're not going to believe what I'm saying. I lose my credibility. Well, this is how God would be. If there were not people who, and I tell you, I'm one of them, people who could say, trust God. If you do what he's saying, he going to bring you to a place your bonds going to be filled with plenty and burst out with wine. You ain't going to have to worry about nothing. You don't have to worry about that. I don't go to bed wondering how we going to pay the bills for the church. I don't go to bed worrying about how we going to do that. I don't go to worry about bed worrying about how I'm going to pay my own bills. I don't go to bed worrying about none of that. There was a time when, yes, I didn't have it like that, but I was still sowing. I was still believing. I was still expecting. My faith was expecting what God said. That was the way I was going to do it. And right now, my expectation is on a whole nother thing right now. My expectation is on my life, length of my life. And that's why I said Sunday. I ain't worrying about money no more because I can't purchase my life. I can't purchase 40 more years. I can't purchase 60 more years. I can only get that from God. But I know God said that if I would abide in him, I showed you all that scripture on Sunday, he that abideth in the secret place of the Most High, he that dwells there, shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And the Bible says at the end, with long life will I satisfy him. And so I'm believing God. I don't have a lot of places I go. I go places with my wife, and then I come to this church. I get up in the morning, I get in the Word of God. I read, I go home, I come to church. I go home and I come to church, and I go other places. I don't go nowhere like that. I don't have no friends I hang out with like that all the time. I ain't got nothing I'm trying to do but abide with Jesus. And I'm telling you what's going to happen. Now, people may not be talking about it right now, but wait till I cross over by Nanny. Then everybody won't talk to you, you know, because they be trying to figure out what's going on. What happened? What are you doing so different? Well, that's what they do. I'm telling you. Don't hit 100, and it's really on in. Because there ain't but so many of us running the planet then, and then they really want to talk to you. Well, what did you do? I ain't going to be sitting there saying, well, I took my vitamins every day and didn't smoke, didn't drink. Even though I didn't do that, and I did take my vitamins, I'm not attributing it to that. I'm just doing what I know needs to be done to keep this body going while God keeps it breathing. Because if God don't keep the spirit in you, you can forget it. It don't matter how healthy the body is. Because the Bible says without the spirit, the body is dead. So my expectation is long life, and I'm doing everything that God said to bring it about. Now, people could say right now, yeah, Pastor, we hear that. We'll see. That's right. We're going to see. Because everybody now that's 20 years younger than me, or even 40, if you're 40 years younger than me, that would make you 20. That means in 40 years, if I hit 100, you'll be 60. So at least you know, and if you're 40, my goodness, you'll be 80. So we'll all be around to see. And I said on Sunday, get yourself a copy of that DVD. Matter of fact, I'm going to copy it, make sure I have it, and throw it in my casket if God don't give me long life. People say, what's long life? I at least 90. I got to go past that. And I ain't going to be going past, wheeling around up here, and y'all trying to send me home, talking about he's still trying to preach. Not being here, y'all know faith. It's the substance. That's what I've been telling y'all. Look at me. I'm still getting it at 90. Mm-mm, no, sir. My plan is to be talking about it. Look at me. My plan is to be talking about it and dealing with it like I'm doing now. People might say, Pastor, you bragging. No. But this is something we can see. We're going to put it out there. Because, see, the more you put it out there, the more you got to deal with it. And so I know the more I put it out there, the more I have to believe God. The Bible says he'll give his angels charge over you. God will keep you in your ways. And I told you it's not selfishness because I want to live long. I want to see people getting married around here. People got babies being born right now. And in my mind, another 20 years, I mean, I'll be 80. And if I pass by then, some of these people won't even have gone to college. I've seen kids go to college. I've seen all kinds. I want to see more of that. I want to see more people get married, more children grow up, more things happen. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of the church's growth as it continues to grow. That's why I want the life. And I also want to be able to do things that I can bring more fruit to Jesus. That's what I want to be able to do. So I don't, when I pray and ask for long life, I'm not praying, as the Bible says in James, amiss, to consume it upon my lust. God, let me live long so I can stay at the beach and go to Mo Sandals and go to Hawaii some more. And God, I can buy everything I want. That's not why I'm praying for long life, or believing God, should I say, having an expectation for long life. In other words, I'm not sitting around hoping and wishing. I expect it. Now, you might say, well, some, I don't know why you think you could talk like that to God. I ain't talking to God. I'm telling you what I expect because God said it. That's what faith is. So we're going to have to get this thing down now. You got to understand it. Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and ye shall have them. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Okay, I'm taking you up on your word then, God. I am not going to lean on my own understanding. In all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge you, and I'm going to speak what I expect based on the word of God, and that's where I'm getting my desires from. When somebody says, where you get that from? I got it from the word of God. God said, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's just what it says. People say, well, what about all these other people that died? I don't have anything to do with that. I am not those people. I am not dealing with those people. I cannot say what was going on with those people. I do not live in those people's body. Those people, I cannot control that. Faith is not the substance of things you see going on in everybody else's life. Faith is not the substance of what's going on the planet around you. Faith is the assurance, being sure of what you expect, and evidence or certainty as to what you do not see. Not about what I saw or what somebody said or what somebody else was expecting. Because I don't know what other people are expecting. I mean, you get around everybody for the most part, most people make it clear what they're expecting. Most people expecting by the time they get to a certain age, they're going to have all kind of ailments. They're going to have some kind of problems. You know, that's old age, they call it. Oh, this happens when you got old age. That happens when you got old age. All this stuff. Instead of saying, I'm about to change what I got to do in the natural, set my expectancy, and you can't set it without getting in the word of God and staying in there until you believe it. You got to stay with it till you believe it. Till you believe it. You got to believe it. You know, in other words, just like we talked about the people where they're doing chemo and the cancers are shrinking. And the doctor's like, woo, that's hard to believe. No, you should say, doctor, I'm surprised it ain't all the way just gone. Praise the Lord. But I tell you what, I ain't going to be in here much longer and it ain't coming back. My expectation is that God is going to take care of this because the word says so. The Bible says if there's any sick, believe God and God will heal me. And we got to get there. And we can't, if we see people fall around us or things happen around us, we can't let that dictate to us what the word says, because you don't know what's going on in other people's lives. You don't know what they're doing. That's like me. I could be up here. Let's say I'm up here doing something outside y'all don't know nothing about, but God don't want me doing it. And then something happens. And you say, poor pastor, he said this and that and the other. That's why I told you can't believe that stuff. You better believe his word. Okay? Because the word is true. All right? And every man is a liar, God said, but I am not a man that I should lie. And in me, you can find faith and hope. So, folks, look, we're going to pick up some more on this on Sunday, talking about phase fuel. I want you to remember that we have got Sunday service again in person. We're doing in-person service. Again, we have gone to where now if you can come, whether you, since they got these vaccinations and all that out there, my position is this. People can get vaccinated if they want to. Don't get vaccinated if you don't want to. It doesn't matter. It's out there. But we are having church, and we're having it in person at 10 o'clock. If you want to come, you can wear a mask. Or if you don't want to wear a mask, you ain't got to wear a mask. Because the bottom line is that, you know, hey, the people that want to wear them got them on. And if you choose not to, then so be it for you. But the point is that get in church, because there's no excuse for it now of you not being here unless you just don't want to be here. Or you may have a situation, let me be clear, that you can't. And we're okay with that. But what I'm also saying is, trust me, however you choose to come is fine with us. Wear it, don't wear it. Distance yourself, stand on the wall. We can find all kinds of things. Just try to get your best to get in church if you can. If you can't, God bless you. We appreciate you. Look at it at 10:20 and 10:30. We're coming online now because we found that that's just, let's go back to that. And we were able to rearrange our service where we're doing praise and worship first. It was an exciting first Sunday. We were excited about it. We had a great time. And then we were able to roll right off into our introduction of our online service. And then all of the other things that went on from there, our announcements, our devotional is now online. It's a dynamic way now, I think, for us to handle church. And then our Sunday message is still online at 3. We're reconsidering maybe just taking that off at 3 now, since we can run the service right after church and just keep it on. And then we've got prayer service on Wednesday from 6 to 8. Man, you got to get in here. Don't miss it. We changed it up a little bit. Yesterday, we spent the first 35 or 40 minutes in silent prayer, everyone before God. And then that last 20 minutes or so, we had individuals that would pray, Brother Chris, Sister April, Sister Miranda, myself, and we went before God, petitioning his throne and asking him to heal and to deal with families, deal with situations. And it was just a dynamic time. The Spirit of God upon the house of God. And then on Sunday, we've got communion service every first Sunday. Don't miss it, in person. Come examine yourself and receive that faith that comes from that, the strength, health, and long life. Folks, look, I love you. We appreciate you. You have a good week out there. God bless you, and goodbye. We'll talk to you on Sunday. Amen.